So an awful lot of you are probably going to wind up learning an awful new things. What I'm going to try to accomplish today, because I'm doing a wrap-up, or let's say an outline of what I have said, and want to try to cover today, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, in a relatively short period of time. There's a tremendous amount of information there, but I don't want to go back and repeat many things that I've already said before. But I do want to say something to you, and be in all sincerity and all truth. I talked to my wife a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, and I have a little bit of a hard time on something which I don't quite understand about myself, and it is this. Did you know when I first began to do this, I never do an awful lot of yelling and shouting and screaming, did I? And it seemed like the last few months I have been doing that quite aggressively. And so I don't know whether I can overcome that or stop that. I don't know why, because all of a sudden this stuff is becoming extremely connected, I might say, or more powerful to me than I have ever had before. So, you know, if I raise my voice, I'm trying my very best not to yell and shout and scream. I don't want to do that. But I do want to say one thing. I do not have a direct line to God. I do not have a direct line to God. My line that I have directly to God is the same exact line you have. And if I don't listen to Him, He will not call me back. All right? He's going to call. He's going to answer my questions. He's going to answer what I want to know. At the very same time, if I do not respond to what He has to say, we'll get to that a little bit today, then there's something missing. And it means that God is not going to hear what I have to say. And basically, to tell the honest truth, what I have to say to God is very little of importance. What I have to say to God is, I want to do what you're telling me to do. Help me to do it. I don't know how. A lot of things I have taught, and it's not that what I taught is, quote, I'll get in that word later, not today, gospel, overused and wrong word. It is just, I do an awful lot of studying because that's my world. I'm in the engineering world. More precisely, when an engineer gives me something, I go in precise detail whether or not it will work for him. And I paid to extremely minute details. So that's my character, for those who do not know me. So we're going to begin here in Genesis. And Bereshit, what does Bereshit mean?
In the beginning.
What's the root word for beginning? Rosh, which means what?
Head.
Okay. Now, in biblically speaking, don't think that if you are, quote, head of the family, in a quote, you have authority. Biblically speaking, you have a responsibility. And if the responsibility does not carry out, you are held accountable. I hope we'll see that a little bit today, just in Genesis here in first place. But I want to explain something to you. I just mentioned before we started, I want to tell you something that... Let me ask the question. Do you believe that Jesus, quote, is the head of the church, in a quote? That means He's responsible, right? He has to be responsible. He's held, quote, accountable to the eternal creator of heaven and earth. He's held accountable for your life, for your thinking, for your being, for your correction, for your discipline, for everything under the sun. Now, I want you to listen a little bit to what He said. You'll recognize this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he was dead, he shall live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, most of us don't pay attention to that first phrase. All we have to say, if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you have salvation. No, he says, if whosoever lives and believes me. So that's very, very important that we pay attention to what he says. We must live, not just believe. We must live it. And so we start living it, we have to say, where do I go? I talked about the rock. Now, in the book of Luke, it talks about if you build your house upon the rock, well, in Greek it says you go down deep and bury and build from the very foundation of the rock itself. That is deep down. Spiritually speaking, it means you have to go and find out the depths, the foundation of what Jesus said. There are a lot of rocks out there, by the way. And if you build your house upon the wrong rock, something's going to happen to you. God created rocks for a reason, for us to understand there's multiple kinds of rocks, but there's really only one kind of rock. That really and truly. And internally, rocks have compounds inside of them, have minerals inside of them. Some are very soft, some are very firm, and some are very, very hard to break. Takes a tremendous amount of pressure to break them. So that being said, how many are you going to hear? I want to hear something in Hebrew here. No, I wonder how many people remember what it says. Kane, kakma, kane, vina. Huh?
Say again.
Kane, kakma, kane, vina. You don't remember what it says, huh? All right, put down your notes. Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 5. And it says, plain English, get wisdom and get understanding. Kakba is wisdom. All right? And bina is understanding. You remember me telling you that now? A little bit, members. All right. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time here in chapter 1 of Genesis to explain something. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Because basically it's just a summary. How many of you, and be honest with yourself, at one time believed that the world really is billions of years old. Sincerely. All right. Next question. How many of you believe, be honest with yourself, believed that God created the world in chaos and confusion? All right. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, most of you have perhaps read because of even majority of the Christian world has a concept that God used evolutionary concept to bring about His creation. All right? And it's a very strong belief in a lot of Christian world. You know that. If you come from that place and you know what it's about. But it says there in Isaiah, He did not create the world in chaos and confusion, tohu vavohu. But second verse of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it sounds like it was created in chaos and confusion and in darkness. But it wasn't. Because the word says, became. Something became. Not past tense, was. Became. Something happened to the earth. Because the very first sentence says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was, or became, chaos and confusion and darkness. The heaven wasn't. Yes.
Are you talking about like the gap theory?
No.
Or what is known or
yeah,
called
a lie.
The gap theory? It's a what?
It's a lie.
Okay.
What is the gap theory?
Okay. I don't know if I really can explain it. Who could better explain the word gap? It's a period of time. Period of time. Yes.
Simply, it just says that supposedly between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there's space for some people come up with, you know, a Lucifer's flood. things yes. that destroyed the earth and the possibility for a long, huge amount of time between Genesis 1 and 1:2.
Billions of years, millions of years. It doesn't say that. But how does the world begin to believe that? Because they have to have an answer. But the Word of God doesn't say that. So I stick with what the Word of God says. Something happened. Now, can God move quick and fast?
Yes.
Okay, let's see how fast He moves. We're going to go through quickly here. Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Genesis 1, 6, God said, let there be. And verse 9, God said, let the waters. And God said, let the earth. And God said, let there be. And God said, let the waters. And Elohim blessed them. And God said, be fruitful. And Elohim said, let the earth. And Elohim said, let us make. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful. And Elohim says, I have given. How many times have the word said? A lot in the first chapter. Now, in the world, we look at that reading and we redefined a verb and we said, he said something, he said something, he said something, he said something. Every time he said something, what took place? Major, quick, fast, in 24-hour period. Sudden things, quick and fast. He doesn't take a long time engineering things out and speculating, because why? All right, in the beginning, let me ask you a question. Serious, how many of you, be honest with yourself now, how many of you believe God created everything there is out of nothing? That's not right. What did He create it out of? He created something that is. Himself. Everything that is here came from Him. It was in the beginning. He is the beginning. Everything came from Him. It came out of nothing. It's no Big Bang theory that all of a sudden He said, boom, oh, what's this? Well, I have to create a bang. I have to create nothing. He can't create something out of nothing. He has to create something out of what? Out of that which exists. And He is the one that was and is to be. He sustains everything. Yes.
Doesn't that smack of pantheism, though?
Pantheism?
Meaning that God is in everything and through everything.
He says He's the one that allows anything and everything to exist. If He ceases it, it will not exist. He can stop the existence of anything. Sometimes we think that God is too weak. Some believe that God cannot destroy and eliminate and wipe out the entire existence of the devil. If He created it, He can eliminate it. If He created you, He can eliminate you. If He created the earth, He can eliminate it. If He created anything, He can eliminate it. He is the one that permits, allows, and makes it stay alive or exist. And He is the one that's going to make it not exist. The soul that sins, it shall what? It will cease to be. It will cease to exist.
I just wonder if you can make a small comment on the distinction between pantheism, what you're talking about.
Pantheism.
There's a scripture in the New Testament that says God is love, but we cannot say that statement in the reverse and have it still be true. God is love, but love is not God. That's the difference.
Nothing exists unless the Creator so says yes. And nothing there is not a rock on the face of earth that did not exist unless He said, I'm letting it exist. I'm making it exist. I'm bringing it about. It came from Me. I am the one that created it. I am the one that designed it. I'm the one that formed it. I'm the one that made it. We'll get into more words in a minute. I've got to get on quick. Yes.
Just in the point where you were making about, the soul that sins will die.
Yes.
If God made everything out of Himself, then that would mean that a part of God would die.
Correct.
So God cannot be all-powerful if He Himself is dying.
He is the one that sustains life. He's the one that stays breath. He's the one that breathes something into Adam. Adam didn't have it, but He could take it away. He said, nothing, everything will return back to Me. That includes any breath you have received from the Eternal. And if you go against Him, His breath is going to return back to Him. He will not. of the earth. Go ahead.
I was going to say, wouldn't that statement assume that when you said when it dies, a piece of God dies, that would be assuming that after it dies, it just ceases to exist. And that's not necessarily said.
What ceases to exist?
Well, Jeff's statement, when something dies, then a piece of God dies. But it doesn't say that.
That doesn't say God dies. It doesn't say a piece of God dies. God doesn't say that at all.
It says it returns.
It's a belief system. Now, I'll go back to here. We've got to get back to here. To Elohim, and he said, Genesis 1, chapter 4, Elohim saw the light. What do you mean he had to see something? Elohim called the dry earth, and he saw that it was good. And he brought forth the grasses, and he saw that it was good. And he had the greater the sun, the moon, star, and he saw that it was good. And then he created the great whales and the birds in the air, and he saw that it was good. And he made the beast of the earth and after his kind, so he saw that it was good. And Elohim saw everything he had made, and behold, it was good. What was God looking at? That which he made. Now, then he did something else. Elohim called the light day. He called the firmament of heaven. He called the dry land earth. He called the waters sea that he departed. And, verse 7, he made the firmament, and he made two great lights, and he made the beast of the field, and he made, and he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And on the seventh day, the Elohim ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. And the Eternal blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it that he had done all his work from which he had created and made. What's the difference between those two words? Do you know? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Where else in Genesis does it say that? It says that in where? Genesis 1:21. And God created the beings that are in the water. God created the birds of the air. That's a little bit different than made. Now, it comes along here. He does something different. All right? We'll get into that in a minute. And Elohim created man in his own image. And the image of Elohim created he. Male and female created him. What's the difference between being created and being made? Do you know? See, these words are very, very important in Hebrew. Very critical in Hebrew. And we know that he said something. Something came about quickly and fast. And then he saw. And what he saw was what he had called, or what he had said to took place. And he saw that was good. Right? So he saw everything he did was good. And then he started calling things. I'm going to call that this. I'm going to call that that. I'm going to call this this. I'm going to call that. And then I'm going to do something. I'm going to make something out of what I have done. I'm going to make firmament separate. Oh, wow. And then I'm going to make something else. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, verse 7. And Yahweh Elohim formed man out of the dust and the ground and breathed into him the nostrils of breath of life, and man became something. A living nephesh. Hebrew word. You know what nephesh means? Breath. There's a verb. What does a verb mean? Something that goes out. Did you know that? We think it's breathing in and breathing out. But what did God do? He breathed out, he blew out from him into the nostrils of this piece of dirt And the piece of dirt which he formed, he made the heavens and the earth, and then he formed, he made a being, made things that made him look like himself. And then he had to do something else. He gave him and blew, or came out of him, life into this being, which became Adam. Now, he formed God, created Adam out of the ground. But he created life in Adam. He created life in every animal. He created life into the seas. He created life, that which breathes in and breathes out. He created that. He gave life to things. Didn't say he breathed into the trees, did he? No. He ordered something out of the earth. He formed the earth, and then something took place. Trees came up. Plants came up. Seed-bearing things. That which bears seed, always reproducing within itself. Now, let's go on. I'm going to try to get through this thing. Keep one thing in mind. So man was formed and life was blown, in a sense, away from or into, from Adam, away from Elohim, into the man. And man was not formed for a soul to be implanted within him. There are a lot of belief systems that the soul lives forever. The soul will continue on going. And no matter what happens to you, your soul will continue on existing. No matter if you're dead in the flesh, your soul continues on existing. Nefesh continues on existing. Breath continues on existing. But that's not what Elohim said. We have to face that. That's the truth. We can believe anything under the sun we want to believe in. We can believe any doctrine we want to believe in. You bring in any theory you want to bring in. You bring in any abstract concept you want to believe in. But you have to face what he said. I will take the soul from man. When he takes it, man is gone. What happens to man? He goes back into the earth. He remains there. He remains there until he decides to say, I want to talk with you. Come up. But he has to give breath back in. Ezekiel prophecy. We won't go there today at all. But just keep those things in mind. I'm trying to get this thing in. Now the Garden of Eden. What does the word garden mean?
A hedge.
Garden means a hedge or a border. It doesn't where you go plant things, but inside this border, which is called, what was inside this border? Eden. What does Eden mean? What?
Goodness,
pleasantness, wonderful things. That's what the word Hebrew means in about Eden. And we often called, biblically also called the Garden of Paradise. In other words, it's the most pleasant place to be. Was Adam created inside of that place? No, he was created outside of that place. And when he was created outside of the place, then he was taken into that place. Because in that place is pleasantness, life. Right? And inside their place was a very interesting thing. What was inside that place? The what? Two trees, all right? One of life. And one of? All right. Now, I've heard all sorts of things that somehow an enemy got in there and planted this tree of knowledge that God didn't really want any knowledge whatsoever to be implanted into the brain of Adam or Eve. But he did want Adam and Eve to do what? Oh, look at Adam. What do you call that thing? Ooh, it barks. Oh, what do you call it? A bark. Okay, that's good. What do you see there? Oh, That looks like a fly. Okay, we'll call it a fly because he said it was a fly. It's a fly. Did he want to teach him something? Did he want Adam to really look and see what he had created and formed and fashioned? Everything that Adam called, God says that's what's going to be called, right? God didn't overrule anything. God did not overrule Adam when he says, Isha. Didn't overrule it. So, don't call her that. No, that's what her name was, what she became known as.